I'd like to introduce our speaker this morning. Dr. Joseph D'Souza is the president of an international ministry entitled Dalit Freedom Network. This is a ministry that seeks to bring freedom and hope to India's lowest caste, people that are trapped in a vicious cycle of poverty. How many of you have heard of Dalit Freedom Network? I'd like to see your hands. Yeah, it looks like at least half. That's great. We are so blessed today to have a number of brothers and sisters with Dalit with us today. I just want to give them a special welcome. Our Canadian director, Sherry Baker. Welcome, Sherry. Garth and Betty Hunter here. Haven't seen you folks in a long time. You're looking so well. Greg and it looks like Marilyn Hislop. I hope that's correct. I can't read your writing, David. Yeah. Marion, yeah. And David Carmichael and his wife, so good to have you here. These are dear friends of many folks here that come from different churches, and we welcome you today. But we are so blessed today to hear a very compelling story that God is accomplishing in India, and we as a church now get to be a part of this. Joseph has just flown over from India. And we're so glad that he's here. This is a choice servant of the Lord. So let's give him our hearts, and let's also give him a real big Pacific welcome this morning.
Thank you again, Brian, for that great welcome. I'm really happy to be here. I joined England in their depression. I can imagine what's going on in the in Great Britain right now. I missed the match, but France got knocked out, Italy got knocked out. Something interesting is happening in this World Cup soccer. How many of you follow soccer here? Yeah, let me see. Not too many. If I said ice hockey, I know everybody's hand would go up. But South Africa, the world is coming together. Later on, you know, in October of this year, Christian leaders from around the world, I think about 5,000 leaders who are involved in all of God's work around the world will be gathered again in South Africa, and they will be taking stock of what God has been doing in the world since the last Lausanne conference where I was present, 1989, that was in Manila. So 20 years later, we are going to take a stock of the movement of God and the Church of God around the world. And we are going to be there. And one of the great stories that the organizers and everybody else in Lausanne want to hear is this phenomenal story of the release of human civilization's longest-lasting captives and slaves, the people called the Dalits. 250 million of them, today probably 300 million of them. Most people 10 years ago would not have heard about the Dalits. 15 years ago, people thought that there's no Dalit problem in India, there's no problem of modern slavery in India, and yet human civilization's most heinous, discriminatory, racist, religiously backed oppression is still going on in our world. But the story that will be told in Lausanne, which you will hear from me in summary this morning, is the story of an extraordinary Exodus story of the Bible. When Moses led the people of Israel out from Egypt, people give different figures, but at the most, he led about 3 to 4 million people out. I'm here to announce to you, no exaggeration, Jesus is leading Right now, 300 million people of a 2,000-year-old caste slavery system out of slavery into freedom. And we as the Dalit Freedom Movement and Network are right bang into the middle of this. It's an extraordinary time for India. It's an extraordinary time for the world. And an extraordinary time for the church. When I speak, especially in Europe and in North America, Canada, the U.S., I pick up this sign of depression in the church, not because anybody's losing a soccer match, because of what's happening to the church in the U.S. and to Canada or in Europe, the decline of the church. And I was in a conference just before coming here. I was in a conference in Colorado. And, you know, I'm a leader from the other part of the church, right? I'm the non-white part of the church. Did you know that if we brought all of the Christians of the world today here in this church with 300, 400 seats, that 65% of the seats here would be occupied by non-white people. 65 and more. You are in a minority. That is the grand story of the church. But then I get asked in Colorado, how is this all happening? Why is it not happening here? And I said, it's very clear to me. Here and in Europe, and I go to some pretty interesting big churches, especially in the U.S., my heart breaks because everything is self-focused. Everything is about me. While the Bible is very clear, God, yes, when God, Jesus, saves us, He saves us to take us to heaven and give us eternal life. But He does not save us for ourselves. He saves us so that we go out and bring His salvation to others. And that's what is driving this extraordinary church growth outside the world. The Indian church, the African church, the Latin American church. We meet on Sundays, worship meetings. We're not just looking at, you know, what's God going to give me? What blessing God is going to give me? We want to know how, what blessing I can take from this Sunday service outside where God has put me. What is God, you know, how do I get involved with this great, great movement of freeing Dalit slaves? Now, those of you who have not heard about the Dalits and who they are, here is their story. About 2,500 years ago, through the Hindu scriptures, this story, theology, ideology, and system was created, which continues till today. And the system was that God created human beings in a hierarchy of purity and impurity, a higher status, a higher human being, a lower human being, based on sins in a past life. So, this God, when He created humanity, He created some people from His head. And they're just about 3 or 4% of India's population. But He, those people created from the head, had such great past karma, past life. God had now made them the supreme human beings. From here, they would just merge into God in their next reincarnation and then become part of God. And He called them Brahmins. And they had all rights, all privileges, spiritual, social, economic, political. This has been going on for 2,500 years. And if you're born a Brahmin and if you're born in a Brahmin family, God is rewarding you. You deserve it. One step lower, still part of the privileged caste, was another group of people created from the shoulder of God. And they were all the prince and rulers and princesses of India. In India, they're called Kshatriyas. They too were such noble people in a past life. God was rewarding them, and by right, by birthright, they could be the rulers of India. And in many places today, they're still the rulers of India. They were 3 or 4% of the population. Let's say they were even 5% of the population. They had all rights too. Then this God created a third group of people, again from his upper part of his body, belly, thighs, and said, you've been so good in a past life, I'm giving you all of the economic privileges of this culture and this society, and you are the business group and the business caste of India. For 2,500 years, they have run the economy of India. They own the land, they own the money, all by birth, okay? You don't have to have merit. This is my privilege. This is what God has called me to do. So, very nice system to oppress, manipulate, to rob the land. Three castes are told, this is how God has ordained, this is your privilege. And between the three of them, they eat the fat of the land and they oppress the rest. This is all God. Then the same God decides 45% of the population comes from his feet. And in the scriptures, in the Vedas, they are called slave caste. So there's no fudging. There's no political nuance. Let's not use the word slave. No. It's very clear. You have lived such past hopeless lives. You're created from the ignoble part of God's body. You are the slave caste, and you don't have the same rights as the upper three. Especially, you don't have spiritual rights. You, low caste, can never touch or speak from the Hindu scriptures. You're polluted. 45% of India. If you ever landed, have been to India, or you land in India, man on the street whom you meet is most likely a low caste, slave caste, backward caste person. Now, anybody who hears this, they're so shocked and they think, and these people are abused, their jobs are determined by birth. Any society would have had a huge problem. But it did not stop there, my brothers and sisters. This is the tragedy of India and the tragedy of the Indian civilization. The tragedy is, this God then says, because when you add the maths, you're not still getting 100%, right? Says there's a group of people who are disconnected with God. Has nothing to do with God's body. They have nothing to do with God's creation. They are the criminal outcasts and out-tribes. They are the untouchables. They have been such sinners in a past life. They are less than human beings in this life. They are equal to animals. The life of a cow, and I'm not exaggerating, the life of a cow is more valuable than the life of a Dalit. I tell this story to my colleagues some years ago. I mean, time has gone by fast. This is 10 years now into the movement that, you know, I was up there in the UK attending some meetings in London. I get this call from the Dalit leaders and they say, please come back. You know, something tragic has happened just outside of New Delhi. And I say, what has happened? They said, this mob of upper caste men have lynched 5 Dalit young people to death right on the side of the road, 40 kilometers outside of Delhi. And I said, why did they lynch them to death? He says, they were touching and skinning, but touching a dead cow. And then the vice president of the Hindu Federation gets up on national television and says, the mob did right. And I explained this in my book. The mob did right because the life of a cow is more valuable than the life of the untouchable, low caste. They are 25 to 30% of the population. They have no rights, but they're great as slaves. They're great to clean the toilets and the gutters of India. 1 million of them today still carry human excrement on their head and clean people's toilets with their bare hands. They're forced to do it. This is your job by birth. You are born to do this. This is what God has made you to do. This is what you should do. 15 million of their children are bonded slave children. Slumdog Millionaire, those were Dalit children who can be maimed, whose eyes can be removed, whose hands can be cut, and they can be thrown into beggary to serve some middle, upper caste mafia leader. They're untouchable, but not their women, not their children, not their girls, not their boys, because when it comes to human sexual trafficking, they are the most desired. They're number one on the list. They're untouchable in every way, except when it comes to sex. And for 2,500 years, not like the children of Israel for a few hundred years, 2,500 years, these people have been crying to this unknown God for freedom from this slavery. For 2,000 years, even as you and I have had the gospel and Christianity in India, they've been crying. Nobody has heard their voice. Nobody has heard their voice. Our story is the story of the last 2 decades. That's why South Africa, Lausanne wants to hear this story. Our story is the story of Dalit people in revolt who are saying, we were born Hindus, but we don't want to die Hindus. By God's grace, we don't want to die as slaves. Dalit leaders are saying, we believe there's only one hope for us, Jesus Christ. And turning to the church in India and turning to the church in the world, church around the world, including the church in Canada, including Pacific Community Church, and asking the question, we believe Jesus is the hope. Do you believe Jesus is the hope for us? Can you deliver freedom? Can you bring us freedom? And when we turned around and asked them, yes, we do. We believe Jesus is the hope. Jesus is indeed the hope for your salvation, total salvation, the full salvation you're looking for. What do you want us to do? My colleagues all know me around the world now. Even the non-Christian world knows when I get up and say, my life changed about 15 years ago. Completely changed. I suddenly became moved from being, which I'm still, an evangelist to somebody who is an abolitionist, abolition of slavery in Jesus' name. I said, what do you want us to do? He said, free our children. That was not what I was doing, my brothers and sisters, 15 years ago. I was not freeing anybody who is in sexual slavery or bonded slavery or any kind of slavery. That was not what I felt the Indian church should do, nor what I should do, nor OM should do, or anybody else should do. I was not reading my Bible properly. I was not reading Jesus properly. I was not reading Jesus' sermon, first sermon in the synagogue properly when he got up and said in the synagogue, you know, here I am, the anointed one, and I've come to free the captives. I've come to release the prisoners. I've come to bring deliverance. I've come to heal all those who are sick. I've come to give sight to the blind. This is the day of God's salvation. I said, free our children. Today, all of my colleagues and I and around the world, including governments, know, man, what a situation, what a problem is going on in India that you can have in the 21st century, 100, no exaggeration, 100 million people directly, indirectly impacted by human trafficking. 100 100 million. This is more slavery than the slavery of 200 years ago when Wilberforce got up as a Christian and fought against slavery. There's more slavery than ever happened under apartheid in South Africa. Free our children. And when we asked, how do you want us to free our children? They said, you know, come in our communities and open this freedom centers, Dalit education centers, where you preempt. You know, it's one thing for you to go around and people are doing this, rescuing these girls in the brothels, rescuing these girls who are sold to temple prostitution. But can you prevent? You know, once they are there for 5, 6, 7, 10 years, it's over for them. They're maimed for life. Can you go and pluck somebody before she's sold? Can you pluck a child before? And we invite you into our communities. Begin this center and say, yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it. And they said, there's going to be a price. The oppressors, those who have exploited us, they're not going to be happy. They're going to be upset. They're going to go after you. No problem. We'll do it. And we promised 10 years ago to do 1,000 centers across the nation for them. At any given time, when it's all done and running, at any given time, there will be over 500,000 freed children in a Christian school education context, being loved, being taught. They're made in God's image. No Dalit. No low caste, no high caste, fighting for the protection of the girl child, fighting for the protection of the boy child, fighting for the protection of their mothers who are equally abused and raped because they are in bonded slavery. Here I am 10 years later, and that's why, you know, the people who are organizing Luzon, they said, look, this is such a big story of what God is doing. We want you there to come and tell. Why? Because we are here into our 10th year, and this year we open up our 100th center in India with 20,000 children free and growing and reaching out and engaging. And I believe, I don't have the exact figure, out of those 20,000, 1,500 have been freed by Canadian Christians getting involved with them. It's an amazing story. One of the texts, and a lot of seminal texts for our movement, but one of the great seminal texts from the Bible for our movement is this extraordinary, I was sharing with my friend Ted Hilton this morning, this extraordinary promise of the Holy Spirit that Jesus gives to the apostles in John's Gospel, chapter 16. And he says, you know, I'm going to go away, but I have to tell you something. I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you somewhere because I don't want to leave you as orphans. I don't want to leave you alone. So I'm going to send you a helper. John 16, verse 7. I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now, here is the extraordinary thing. Jesus is promising the Holy Spirit will come to you. I'm going to get up in South Africa like I've been doing for the last 6 months everywhere in the world. And I'm telling the world, I'm telling you this morning, and I'm inviting you to be part of this. Come and experience it. What am I telling the world? I'm telling the world that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, no exaggeration, not mental Jesus, but the actual person of the Holy Spirit, Jesus, has fallen upon the 300 million Dalits. And we see it day and night. And he's exactly doing what Jesus said the Holy Spirit will do. He's going to convict the world of sin. And what is the sin he's talking about? It's not about adultery and theft, which are all sin. But this is the sin. The sin. The big sin. The defining sin. And what is defining sin? About their unbelief in me. Not recognizing that I am the hope of the world. I am the hope of salvation for all. I am the answer to the world. I'm here to announce to you, you know, there's a negative side when the Holy Spirit does this. There's a positive side when the Holy Spirit does it. I'm here to tell you the positive side. The Dalit people are convicted. They know Jesus is the hope. And they believe he's the hope. So, the big story in South Africa, summary story for you. 20 years ago when we met in Manila for Lausanne, we said the size of the Indian church numerically was 2.1 or 2.2% of the population. And there's a huge thing going on because the new Operation World wants the figures and they want us to come and tell. And I'm saying, no, keep it down because we'll have massive persecution in India. But in Lausanne, I'm going to get up and say, hey, brothers and sisters of the church, global church, hey, South Pacific Community Church, 20 years on, the story is that we are no more 2.2. We're probably, definitely, at least 7.5% growing up to 10%. That means 50 million new believers. That means two countries the size of Canada have come to Christ in the last 20 years. Do you clap in this church? So this is Jesus saying, when I go up, it's not going to happen without him coming. When he comes, he will do this job. Because Jesus said, then he'll also do the job. Convict the world of righteousness. Because I'm not going to be there speaking and telling people what is right and wrong, what is just and unjust. He's going to convict the world of righteousness and unrighteousness, justice and injustice. And I'm saying to Brian that, you know, when I come and speak and have this, I don't come here to give you a great sermon. That's not my agenda at all. You can get great sermons from a lot of Canadians. They're better preachers than myself. You can get a lot of great sermons from North America. No, I've come here and I have one agenda these days. I want to bless you. And I'm here to tell you, just like 100 years ago, the Pentecostal revival broke out around the world and brought the gifts of the Holy Spirit back into the church, which was denied for such a long time. I'm here to tell you that in the first time in after 500 years, after the Reformation, for the first time, a Holy Spirit fullness of justice and righteousness movement is going on around the world. Come and be part of it. This is about doing something. He will convict the world of righteousness. What is right? What is wrong? How can we in the 21st century as God's people be in India, be in anywhere and say it's okay for 300 million people to be treated as less than animals? It's okay for 3 million of them who live in North India who are called, you know, there are many subgroups. We have just discovered, we thought they were only in North India. Now we have found out this group of Dalits called rat eaters are actually not only in North India. They're all over India. And it was a big shock for me some months ago when a group of rat eaters from the very state I live in, Andhra, came and said, we are also rat eaters of the south. You know what is rat eaters? They don't own any land. They don't have any food. They go into the farms. They dig into the farms. Pull out rats and eat them. National Geographic has done a story on them. BBC has done a story. No homes. No jobs. Outcasts. But the flip side of the story is they're such a beautiful ethnic group their girls and women. Ah, them we want as sexual slaves. So tell me, is the Holy Spirit of God watching this, who's come upon India and the rest of the world, going to sit back and say, let it happen? Let's not do anything about it. This is what I'm saying. When he comes, he'll convict the world of right. Remember this, convict the world. And what's our big story, our Butch big story about the Dalit movement? Yes, the church is in the middle of it, but a lot of non-Christians are getting involved in this. Saying, this something tells us this is not right. And the Dalits are blessed, as they experience the Spirit of God, who not only loves them, not only Jesus who died for them, but a Jesus who cares about what's happening to them and says, no, I'll come, I'll intervene. That's why there's this such a massive turning. I would have never said this, brothers and sisters, 15, 20 years ago. You know, every culture, every civilization has a key that opens the heart to the kingdom. I would have never said. The key that opened India, a 5,000-year-old civilization, the key is the key of the Spirit of justice and righteousness. Extraordinary stuff. I was giving a summary to my OM colleagues, which is the other association with whom I work, and I told them, and I'm so excited, you can see I'm very excited, right? I said to them, I'm already writing this stuff, I'm saying to them, I believe Jesus is going to come, but if Jesus doesn't come soon, and he delays for a few centuries for whatever reason, right now in India, we have the same thing that happened in the first 3 centuries of Christianity, and that is the transformation of a whole civilization. You are a result of what happened in the first 3 centuries of Christianity, Canadians. But if Jesus does not come for 300 years, let me tell you, India at the heart, India at the core will be Christian. The Indian civilization will be a Christian Indian civilization. It's extraordinary. Nothing like this has happened in the last 500 years. The last time something so big, only at the Reformation. I'm just watching and saying, God, thank you. You know, for whatever part you have given me and my generation, we're going to do our part and be part of this. And then Jesus said, he's going to convict and tell the world about judgment. Why? Because it's not about human judgment. Because the evil one has been judged. Oh, what a wonderful story. Not just of personal salvation, which is important, necessary, critical. But we could not have had personal salvation if the devil was not destroyed. And the Dalits kept on asking this question of the church in India for 200-300 years. And we didn't answer it properly. We were giving them questions they did not have, answers they did not want. They wanted to know if there's anybody out there who destroyed whoever created the system. And Jesus said, that's what the Holy Spirit is going to go and tell India. I've done it. Judgment has been done. I've destroyed evil. How many of you really believe that? Come on, let me see your hand. Really believe Jesus destroyed the devil and all evil following, including the evil of caste slavery and dehumanization. So that's the announcement we have to make to you, to the world, and then say, hey, whenever, you know, God's Spirit does something so big and momentous, like the Pentecostal revival, right? He never does it in isolation. Did you know that? If God does something so big, he does it for the whole church worldwide. So, I tell the story. When the Pentecostal revival broke out in New York and California in Azusa Street and everything, what others don't know is simultaneously the same Holy Spirit was falling in small groups in India, in Africa, in Latin America. It was global. I'm here to tell you, I see this as a global thing. The Holy Spirit taking hold of the church of God in a new, powerful way to get involved in justice, righteousness, and reconciliation, which are the big issues of our generation. 50 years ago, it may not have been a problem, but today, this is the biggest issue in the world, no matter where you go. And the Spirit is getting hold of young people, middle-aged people, old people, Christians, non-Christians. People are getting involved in this as non-Christians and then coming to faith in Christ after getting involved, saying, we never knew this kind of a Jesus existed. And we're saying, no, this is the same Jesus yesterday, today, and forever. That when Jesus said that little thing which Christians in some parts of the world have sanitized that passage, suffer not the little children come to me. You think it was some kind of a nice, cozy family situation? No. There was child slavery in his day. He knew what he was talking about. Says, hey, don't keep children from me. And you be careful that you don't stumble, you don't oppress, and you don't do anything to children. And if you do that, it's better for you to tie a big rock and sink and die. No soft words there. Same Jesus. So when the Dalits turn to us and say, free our children, I said, yes, we'll do it. So the blessing is, as we break bread and all, receive of the same Spirit. Receive of the same Christ. And however God gets specific and India and everybody, all of us involved in working together, I told Brian, I pray that God will work out how we can engage with each other. Here's a few things he can do, as always, but more importantly, what can you do about the Dalits? Pray. Here's a Dalit cup which many parts in North India Dalits take and break it. You know why? So no upper caste would drink from the same cup and get polluted. This is a sign of their slavery and dehumanization. And we say, no, this is the cup for whom Jesus died. This cup is created in the image of God. Right? So we are saying to the world, and we're giving it everywhere, sign up for prayer, whichever God you believe, put this on your table and say, I will not break this cup till every Dalit is free. Possible? Not possible. Why? Because of our God. Because of Jesus. So take a cup, sign up and say, okay, I want to be part of this. I want to pray. I pray, and I really do pray, that there will be some in this church through a small sponsorship program, or many in this church, say, this is going to be my life contribution. I am going to be freeing a Dalit boy. I'm going to be freeing a Dalit girl. Go to our table and ask them how to do it. You know, our first group of Dalit children graduated 2 years ago. The last one graduated the second one graduated this year. I can tell you now, 75 stories, people, children growing up in a slum, in a pipe, parents, women whose mothers were sexually abused. I was in a meeting where a new school building, a center building and a school building was being opened. I was sitting there, and I didn't know what was going on, and here comes this man, and then here comes this girl, and the man begins to speak, and the girl begins to translate. This is a Dalit girl who's in an English Christian school, medium school, translating for her father, and the politicians are sitting there totally shocked, because remember, Dalits are not supposed to get educated. Dalits should never learn the language of power. So here is this girl translating for the father. The father is crying and telling us, a couple of thousand people, I thank Jesus today. And I don't believe I was even a Christian at that time. I thank Jesus today because I can get up and tell you my story. Every other family in my village has sold their girl child. I have not sold my girl child because these people came and intervened. And I have got two daughters that are in this center, in this school, who are freed, who are being educated. And I thank this Jesus. Non-Christian politicians, everybody is sitting there. I am sitting there and I'm crying and I'm saying, God, thank you for giving me, with everything that I do, even if you gave me the privilege of just freeing those two girls, I would have lived a life worth living. Just those two girls. Get involved in this huge story that is being rewritten by God's people and others around the world. Three, please, on a donation basis. This book was written 5-6 years ago and then it became thicker. And I believe in the next edition comes, it will be thicker. In the first edition, actually, we just had the picture of this girl. But in this edition, we got a picture of a little girl in our center, smiling and saved and full of joy. And inside pictures, and the story unfolds of what God is doing. And a few years later, Lord willing, when I come back here, Brian, this will be this big. And have stories of Pacific community people getting involved in what God is doing. So go and take this book at a donation and find, you know, what is this? How come I've lived here in Canada and is this Cloverdale? Yeah, and never heard this before. Don't be embarrassed. 7 years ago in a German parliamentary conference, I was telling the story of Dalits, and the foreign minister, the defense minister of Germany, got up, woman, and said, how on earth have I not heard this before? That is the thing. You have heard it today. May God help you to become part of this. Open your mouth for the Dalits, wherever you are, and become a part of this. Can I pray for you? Shall we stand up? Lord, we thank you for all of the Canadians in the last 200 years who came and served in India, Lord. I know my wife herself from one of the outcast tribes, and her people were impacted by Canadian missionaries. And we know this is part of a bigger story, but we never thought, Lord, we never believed, we never understood 10, 15 years ago that you were about to break out and do one of the biggest, greatest thing that the church has ever seen, and we are now a part of it. And I thank you that this Sunday I can be in this church, Lord, and bring this blessing. And I pray that each one in this church today will receive a new pouring, a new filling, a new empowering of the Holy Spirit, and understand, Lord, what you are doing in our world today. This is a hopeless world, but it is not without hope because of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is telling the whole world that our only hope is Jesus Christ. And if we turn away from Him, then we are to be blamed. We have sinned. But if we turn to Him, as the Dalits are, as the children are, as we open up new centers through partnerships with churches like this, we're responding to that great truth in the New Testament. And so I pray, Lord, each one here will be blessed. They will receive. And God, you will tell them what you want them to do, what you want them to do. Not just out there for India, Lord, in India, but what you want them to do out here in Canada, here in the local community. There are oppressed, there are downtrodden, there are marginalized, there are exploited people even here. And so, Lord, we pray that we will know this experience and fullness of the Spirit in a greater measure, Lord. The Spirit of power is able to do far more than we ask or think. Bless you, living God, for yourself, for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And God bless you.